Hello.
Hello, hello, hello.
Braden and Davey here for Poison Rana. We are not live on YouTube, but hey, you should go follow us anyways. Maybe you're listening to us on your podcast app, and maybe you're on a walk, maybe you're at home, or maybe you're listening to us in a car. And that's what we are right now. We are in a car.
Yes, we've just left Charleston, West Virginia.
West Virginia.
Where we stopped off for some rolling, as in like Limp Bizkit rolling.
Rolling.
Jesus. Okay. Sorry, just drove past a tire blown out. Or
yeah. This is going to be, we're recording this off our phone in the car. We've done a crazy whirlwind events of doing this road trip to go see Sting's last match. And we thought we'd do a little impromptu podcast on the road here, kind of explaining our travels. If you haven't checked out our Patreon, if you're missing out on a bunch of the road diaries we've done so far, little shows documenting all the things that we've done, so go check those out as well. So
yeah, patreon.com/poisonrana. As Braden mentioned, we've had our road diaries of our trip to North Carolina from Toronto. We've also just put out our best match ever Sting, covering the greatest matches in the career of Sting, leading up to this AEW Revolution. And we just put out our review of The Crow.
Yeah, The Crow from 1994. So look for these Sting-related shows because we're all excited about the retirement of Sting. Well, it's bittersweet because, you know, we don't want him to retire, but he had to. And it was a great retirement, and we'll chat all about it. But yeah, check out all the shows that we do. That's how you can support us small-time content creators. But yeah, we're on the road back home. It's always the sad part of the trip when you're on a long road trip, when you got to now just go home. At least on the way there, you're looking forward to something exciting.
I will say so far, though, I'm preferring this journey. Normally the way back does suck a lot, but if you listen to our Patreon, we were driving through thick fog in the middle of the night. So wasn't really a whole lot to see. Our bodies were getting used to just being like crammed in this car. Whereas this journey so far, I felt more comfortable. I felt more relaxed. It's beautiful out here. It was just 25 degrees in West Virginia, where we just stopped off for some barbecue at Rollin'.
Rollin' Barbecue. Yeah, we decided to like look ahead on our route to see where we're going. And you found this spot with a good review. And wow, it was such a like hole in the wall, just off a little river. We ate barbecue off the riverside here. And we had some brisket, some ribs, all the fixings, the cornbread. Oh my God, it was so good.
Yeah, so we've got a bunch of that we're bringing back, hopefully, as well as a whole lot of beef jerky, because we're driving. And then we see our friend Graham, who's driving, went, wait, route exit 44? What was it? Beef jerky outlet? So we're like, fuck it, let's go. So we pulled through. And yeah, the beef jerky experience, and what an experience it was.
Just a bunch of dudes that just go to the beef jerky experience. So yeah, let's go. Let's start from the beginning, because for those to catch up to speed here, you really were like, you wanted to do this trip so bad. So we decided to get a bunch of our friends involved. Graham, who's driving right now, he went out and rented a car for us. We're in a Chrysler 300, old man car, but it's getting the job done. Him and Rob, we've been taking turns at the wheel here. And then we got super chill Travi Sims in the back seat with us. We're the backseat boys on this trip. we've been on the road since Saturday night at 8 p.m. our time. We left Toronto and then drove through like really thick fog and very scary conditions when a deer actually, you know, when you see the sign, hey, you know, there could be a deer crossing here. Yeah, they have those signs because it can happen. And thankfully Graham was alert and was able to like not hit this effing deer. So that was very scary. It definitely woke him up.
Yeah. Yeah. And just, you know, not being able to see the lines in the road because it was that dark, that foggy.
Yeah.
Just hearing us like drifting over and being like, ugh. So I don't think it was the most relaxing journey for a lot of it, because the drivers had to really concentrate, and us in the back, as I said, getting used to being crammed next to each other, and not also as passengers not really seeing where we're going. So that was exhausting. And then we get to our hotel and they don't have a reservation for us.
What's the point of a reservation? Yeah, exactly. What they said their staff basically didn't show up to clean and they had to cancel, like, you know, 15 other cancellations today.
I think it was a blessing because we then hopped on Hotwire and got a Marriott right in downtown, walkable to, you know, breweries, bars, restaurants, that kind of thing. So, yeah, felt very comfy there. But by the time we were able to check in, it wouldn't be till like 3 o'clock. So we decided to have some drinks at Stumble Stillskin.
Yeah. Where were we? That was actually in Greensboro.
Greensboro, yeah.
Yeah, when we had our great hotel check-in, we got a few Miller High Lights. Oh, wait, we didn't check in yet. Yeah, you're right. We went to this bar. We had a French dip. We had some food. We had some
We're coming from Canada, going to North Carolina. So our friend orders the poutine.
they have a Malort wall because the owner is from Chicago, but they were out of Malort, so they had Fernet, which is one of our favorites. So we did a shot of Fernet each, and they put our picture on the wall. Which
and we wrote
nice.
Four Sting
at Poison Rana Pod. So that was fun. We walked around a bit the downtown. We skipped over the part we did the futuristic dab rig thing, which we can skip over, but holy shit, whatever that was spaceship level worthy. And then what? We got our room. We had a few Miller High Lifes and then we walked around. There's really great breweries and different restaurants and stuff like that.
We've come from, although it's unseasonably kind of warm back home at the moment, it's still winter and it's still cold. So being able to sit out on a patio, try some like local sour beers.
Yeah.
And as the sun's going down and it's a nice like 18 degrees, it was beautiful. And just, yeah, we were then kind of like, okay, we can relax now. We're here. The journey was brutal, but we're here and now we can enjoy our evening. And that was great.
So yeah, we had different foods and different stuff and drinks, and then we kind of bar hopped around, and then we got in an Uber, which took us to, who was playing all the R&B jams, or was that later in the night?
No,
I think
that was then.
Yeah. Then took us to the Greensboro Coliseum, which was absolutely packed last night. It was completely rammed, like almost 17,000 people. So it was pretty insane. And the luck of the draw, the finessing of our friend Graham, and the sniping of tickets, as Davey has become good at, we managed to get some pretty decent views of this awesome pay-per-view. So yeah, if you check out our socials, there's some great videos and some pictures that we have that I'm sure we'll be posting in the time you're listening to this.
We've been critical of the AEW merch at these live events before.
Oh.
And actually, some of the Sting memorabilia looked awesome,
I thought.
But again, they had nowhere near enough because these lines were crazy. There only seemed to be like 3 merch stands in the whole arena, 3 or 4. And
yeah,
they'd by the time we got to the front, all they had left was like extra small of one t-shirt, which is a shame because really wanted to pick up one for myself. We wanted to get one for Nate, who we just recorded Best Match Ever Sting with. And I thought would have been a nice keepsake, but clearly, we shouldn't have enjoyed ourselves at the brewery so long.
Look, the lines for it were so long, and then like even waiting in it just for a few minutes, they were coming around like, hey, all the big sizes are gone. Obviously, wrestling fans, big sizes all selling the first, and we're like, great, like the shirts I want, like they didn't even have anymore. But I will say, like, they had different variants of different Sting stuff, so I might have to put an order in for that final encounter t-shirt because it just looks so awesome with the colors and stuff. So yeah, kind of bummed about that. They had Sting cutouts, like our Kyrie cutouts.
Yes.
And I was very tempted at that. And
saw a couple of them in the crowd.
People were holding them up and stuff. But yeah, like AEW, we've been to so many shows that we've viewed the merch, and I'd say it was like better in the fact they knew their audience, like, hey, let's sell specifically a lot of this guy's stuff because that's what people are here for. But then on the other side, it sold out before I could even spend money. So,
and I think, I mean, it was pretty clear when this was first announced that how quickly these tickets sold compared to, you know, like AEW's live attendance has been down over the last year on Dynamite and Collision. And the way this was selling so quickly, a lot of people assumed it's because of this Sting retirement announcement. But yeah. Being there in person, it was 100% clear because everyone there was in, you know, their Sting merch, their Sting face paint.
Oh, so many Sting face paints and the different variants. Surfer Sting, half and half with the crow, Joker Sting. So many people with like crazy t-shirts and merch and full on costumes. And it was a whole love fest for this dude of like years and different generations, right? Like really cool to see.
So, yeah, we got to our seats, show.
We had some White Claws.
We had, some White Claws.
Yeah, that's right. Dry February's over, baby.
Yeah. And what we kicked off with we missed the pre-show because we were trying to, you know, get some Sting merch unsuccessfully. But show starts, and I believe we started with Christian Cage versus Daniel Garcia for the TNT Championship. Christian winning. Was surprised that we didn't really see any return of Adam Copeland. And I think we both kind of picked Garcia for this, thinking that, you know, Edge v Christian, possibly in Toronto, doesn't necessarily need the title, but relatively clean win as far as Christian Cage matches go.
Yeah, not my favorite match on the show, but it was still really good. I love both these guys. And in a way, I think it goes with the title, then the Cope can face Christian in his hometown in a ladder match one more time for the title. I think that's the route that we will go towards. But yeah, I felt like these two down the line, they could go back to this match because I think there's a little bit left in the tank from what they did.
Yeah, definitely not like really memorable compared to everything else on the show. But, you know, was Christian such a hot character and, you know, that dance is over it. So it made sense starting it, but we all knew we had bigger stuff later in the night. So kind of middle of the road open for me.
So then we went from that to Eddie Kingston taking on Bryan Danielson for the Continental Breakfast. No, sorry, the Continental Crown.
It's a quad crown because you also win respect as well as the three, possibly one, possibly two, possibly four titles. I don't know. I hate this thing, but this feud has been great.
Yeah, don't really care about the title. There's too many of them, but this match was awesome. Going back and forth, a lot of great mat wrestling. Eddie really kind of stepping to Danielson's game with a lot of the counters and different moves, but then bringing it to him and finally earning his respect. He hits him with the Kawada bomb to put it away, which was really nice. So
Danielson kind of, you know, compared to the other matches, against Eddie, taking him more seriously this time because he'd lost the last one. And I thought it told a really good story, really hard hitting. Crowd were fully behind Eddie. BCC is so weird in the fact that like they can be great heels when they need to be, but you know, they're not really defined what they are. In this case, Danielson, in any other aspect of AEW, is a huge babyface, but he's such a dick to Eddie Kingston that you're rooting against him, kind of very similar to the, you know, Kofi Kingston feud, just how like nasty he can be. But I thought this ended the right way with Eddie winning, the respect angle. I haven't had a chance to catch the video of them backstage yet. I want to check that out sometime on the journey, but it's them kind of backstage talking to each other and, you know, Danielson like respecting him now.
And I wonder what to do. Like, Eddie can go on and put this title on the line and maybe do like different matches and defenses. And Danielson, like, I think the other two for BCC might be busy or going into this tag tournament. So I wonder if Danielson tries to go after someone else in a feud or a different title, like Joe Danielson for a big match on TV or a pay-per-view.
It would be nice to see Danielson hold a title at some point.
Yeah,
like I know something. He doesn't give a shit, but like, I want to see it.
Yeah, I do. I do definitely want to see that. So, but yeah, that was a really awesome match. It got the crowd really into both characters, really, but Eddie Kingston, like everyone's kind of the everyday guy. So loved that. We went to the meat match. Well, it wasn't a meat match because the meat got canceled.
Yeah, the all-star match, right?
The All-Star
Scramble. Knows what's going on with Miro, Keith Lee, etc. This was the we forgot to put Chris Jericho match, wasn't it?
Yeah, so we have to book a few other people on the pay-per-view, so let's add this match. Probably my least favorite part of the match of the show, but still had like some fun spots in between. It was Wardlow defeating Jericho, Hobbs, Archer, Hook, Brian Cage, and Dante Martin. There were some cool spots with everybody like hitting all big moves and crazy stuff off each other and everything, but there was a few like slip ups as well. And
yeah, there were some fun moments, but I overly didn't really care for this. I felt it was a lot of waiting around, setting up for a certain spot. And I think being there in person as well, when you see, you know, four people sleeping on the outside for so long before they come in, it kind of ruins the illusion a little bit for me. I also thought the placement of this was wrong. I thought this could have benefited the show, maybe just being later in the night, breaking up some of these like absolute killer matches.
Yeah, I feel like this could have been later on in between some of the singles matches to kind of separate some of the big stuff. But anyways, Wardlow wins, so he gets a title shot. I wonder if it's at that new pay-per-view that they announced, which is Dynasty, which is later in April from St. Louis. So wonder if that's the Wardlow, but I imagine it's more of a TV.
I could see you doing it at Dynasty. Dynasty has a bit of a tie to MJF. That was his group outside. Right. Like, I wonder if that's like a nod that maybe that's where he returns, which in that case kind of makes sense for Wardlow to be facing Joe because MJF will want to take him out.
Right.
You know, being with the devil and a previous history. So, and it being only next month, I could see that being that show, the match for that show, and maybe headlining with maybe like Mercedes' first match or something like that.
Yeah, that could be like Mercedes, Tony Storm is the main event.
Yeah.
Maybe. Well, yeah, Wardlow wins that, so we'll see where that goes. We then had Roderick Strong taking on Orange Cassidy, International Championship. Orange Cassidy, love his pyro live. I know you can see it on TV, but it's just so funny. And love Jane. But yeah, Roderick Strong really taking this beating to Orange here with that crazy backbreaker. I mean, which one was the crazy back? There's so many, but the one in the corner was pretty nasty, and a lot of the stuff with the back was enough to finally defeat Orange. Like, after all this time, he was finally, you know, juiced to the final pulp where he couldn't take it anymore. So I do think it was time to move on with that, but I felt like it was really more one-sided, where I just thought that's how it was going to go.
Yeah, I thought this is the right move, having Roddy win. I think Orange has done everything there is to do with this title in both his runs, and I'd like to see him move up to, you know, bigger things. Orange Joe sounds interesting.
Yeah.
Like, there's certainly options, and I think he's certainly a character who should be now pushed in that, like, top tier. Roddy, you know, he deserves it as well. We've always been a fan.
Always, long-time fan.
Still, like, all these years later, puts in, like, crazy shifts when he's in there, and still just, like, one of the best wrestlers in the world. These two, you know, on other shows, we'd be talking about it more, but there was just so much good stuff on this show. But I thought this was great, and I'm excited. I hope we're starting to see a bit more of a serious Roddy moving forward, less of the Adam, the neck braces, the...
Yeah, more killer
the goofy
Roddy.
Stuff and be more killer Roddy. And especially if there's going to be a story with Kyle O'Reilly moving forwards, hopefully it can be something a bit more serious.
Yes. So Kyle O'Reilly emerged from the woods.
Yeah. We were in the washroom. We have a habit of being in the washroom when NXT favorites return.
That's right. Yeah, you have a really bad luck. You've been at shows involving Undisputed Era.
I missed Kyle O'Reilly last time.
He's back. He looks like he's a woodsman again. So we'll see what happens.
Hanging with Vaughn.
Yeah, exactly. So he's just out there. And now he's back. So
what? He hugged Roddy. They offered him the Undisputed Kingdom shirt, which he didn't take.
I don't know what to do with him, but I don't know if I'd want him in that group. I think putting him away and seeing what we can do.
I think a little feud with Roddy.
Yeah.
They've got history, obviously, and that can be something serious for the title.
I love Kyle, but he's got to figure out what he's doing. He can't come out looking
like that.
How he looked, kind of like this. But you know I love Kyle, but yeah. The next match was an awesome match. The Blackpool Combat Club, Moxley and Claudio taking on FTR. what is this? The hometown boys, really, for FTR with here in Greensboro Coliseum. The crowd were going nuts for both teams right away. And I mean, if I'm being honest, after this match, I already was like, I think I got my money's worth. And that was just after this match, which was one of the best tag team matches I've seen in a very, very long time.
Yeah, this was incredible. We got a taster on Dynamite a couple of weeks ago with the draw, which was a great match, but we knew they had more in the tank. And this was certainly it. Yeah, just very similar in styles, both teams. They're, you know, kind of throwbacks, take it very seriously as a sport. And yeah, just brutal. FTR are known for having these killer tag matches, and I thought this one was great. I wonder if we get a rematch at all down the line. It's kind of, you know, a draw and a one and a win. Yeah, so, yeah. But it could be, you know, BCC moving on as a serious tag threat, because these titles are going to be vacated, and I assume there's going to be some sort of tournament to crown the new champion. So I'd say they're probably top contenders for that. But yeah, some really good stuff on the show so far, but this kicked it into another gear, I think.
Yeah, this was already like, wow, I want to rewatch this already. And that's a good thing after watching a match, and just felt like one of the best tag matches and felt like such a throwback. And shout out to Mox and Claudio. What a rush with the Legion of Doom Road Warriors gear in their entrance. But yeah, this was just fucking awesome. And the crowd were so into, think about it, like Claudio and Moxley, like refreshing team to take on FTR. And I think we could go back to it in that tournament down the line where FTR maybe get their win back on these guys. But yeah, this really kicked things off for me. Then we had Timeless Toni Storm come out. Well, first it wasn't Timeless. First it was old school Motley Crue, Aussie rocker Toni Storm, but in fact, it was Mariah May.
Good cosplay.
Yeah, lots of good cosplay. Yeah. Tonight. Yeah, this, she looked exactly like her. And then I kind of realized, I was like, huh, I don't know if that's her. And then sure as hell, out comes the real Toni Storm, Timeless, taking on Deonna Purrazzo. Some good back and forth as well. Deonna got to show like the submission base and everything, but I was definitely on a like come down from the last match prior, but I still felt like they got it into gear. And by the end of it, I think I was a little shocked, and as were the crowd, that Toni actually retained. But by the end of it, I'm like, I am ending up cheering for Toni regardless. I think the character is really working for me, and she's so hilarious and really knows how to wrestle. And it's pretty crazy that like she chose to leave WWE, and of course you got to think that's a bad move. And now look, like she's been able to have so much freedom with this character.
Yeah, and it took her time in AEW as well. It wasn't, I know they put the title on her pretty quickly first time round, but it wasn't like she completely connected immediately in AEW, and clearly this character's working. I have to admit, I had to power nap at this point match of this show. I knew what we had left coming up. My eyes kept falling asleep, and I was like, okay, I'm going to quickly nap now. It's been a long day, guys. I will watch this match back properly. I hope that they don't fall in the trap of what they've had with, you know, previous contenders of the hot new signing in the women's division, where they lose and then just kind of really fall down the card. I think with Mercedes Moné coming in just a week or so, obviously she's going to be like a big focus of the show as a whole and the star of the women's division.
Yeah.
And I think you could have a Deonna up there in that level, like match quality wise. So I hope they don't completely forget about her after this loss and just have her as another, you know, Rampage, Ruby Soho-esque character. But I think keeping Toni with this title probably until Mercedes takes it off.
Yeah, like Deonna definitely can be hit or miss back in some of the stuff I've seen, but she definitely, I thought delivered. It was still a pretty good match, so I think she'll be great in AEW, and one day we'll be champion here when the time is right and when she kind of figures out maybe a bit more of her character as well. But yeah, both looked great. I still got into it. But then we go to our next match, which was a match I was definitely looking forward to, and boy, did it not disappoint, because this was something else. Will Ospreay taking on Konosuke Takeshita, the Callis family imploding here, where we saw two gladiators go out there and absolutely go to war. They were killing each other with some of these moves and the strikes that Brainbuster, the El Generico tribute in the corner was absolutely nuts. I mean, Will Ospreay's ass looks like it was...
It just looks so dangerous.
Beat up.
Him just getting his ass out during the presser at the end, showing how bruised it is.
And then challenged Billy. He wants to retire Billy Gunn as well. But yeah, holy shit. Takeshita and Ospreay here just went to battle. There were so many great spots, and this is already like a match of the year contender. I mean, they brought the violence and aggression to a whole nother level. Like Ospreay coming in here out the gate with one of the more violent people in AEW with Takeshita. And I mean, I know we're going to get a lot more of Ospreay in AEW, and I can't wait. It's so exciting. But this was one of the matches I was like, can't wait to go to this. And we went to it already and like totally delivered. And if they ever were to fight again, like who knows what these two will do to each other.
Yeah, it was interesting. They didn't do an angle last night with any kind of leaving the group. Takeshita even kind of, you know, shook his hand at the end, if I'm remembering correctly. But yeah, this match was, they were bigging it up as potential match of the decade. It's certainly a match of the year contender. Another instant classic from Ospreay.
All the stars.
Takeshita reminding us that he is, should be in the conversation as one of the best wrestlers in the world as well. Because, these two, I hope we see more down the line. I kind of hope we keep some momentum with Takeshita, even in loss. He should be someone who, you know, down the line takes that title off of Ospreay. I'd like to see these two together, like, in, like, long-term feuds. Like, career rivals, you know? Like, this was just such a good match. Woke me up completely. The AEW crowd have taken to Ospreay immediately.
Yeah, you know, the chants, definitely. There's so many chants.
Except Greensboro, he's not Australian.
Yeah, Aussie, Aussie, Aussie. I was like, what?
Yeah.
But all the other stuff, the bruv stuff, like, it's totally getting over. He like, obviously, we know him to be a cheeky bastard heel, but when he's, like, a good guy right now, like, he's very endearing, I find, and seems very genuine at the same time. Like, but this, he was so violent in this match, and again, Takeshita and him are just these two warriors that were so entertaining and bruised each other and battered each other for our entertainment, but legit one of the best matches I've ever seen live.
And I do imagine there's a whole lot of the crowd there that, you know, maybe aren't familiar with his New Japan stuff and are only basing him on what they've been presented with in AEW, which, you know, so far has been a killer Orange Cassidy match, a killer Kenny Omega match, those trios we had in that tournament, and obviously Wembley with Jericho. He's done a lot in with very little, just showing why he's one of the best in the world. But yeah, he's going to be like certainly in that title picture. I mean, Wembley is coming up, and you would imagine that's the match: Ospreay versus whoever
Danielson
for the title.
I mean, just Ospreay Danielson is a showcase and a big enough crazy match to begin with, so I kind of hope it's that, and then he could go for the title like beyond that. But yeah, this guy is incredible. Takeshita is incredible, and this instantly was like, wow, this show has already been a whole lot of fun, and the crowd just ate it up and were so into everything. But it just like, wow, I've seen two incredible matches on top of a very solid card and just in full, and we still had a lot to go, like a lot moments to go in the show. But wow, like this was definitely worth the drive, because I Ospreay has just become one of my favorite things to watch. And I love, like, I have a bunch of friends who are casual watchers. They just like, show me some good wrestling. Like, this is one that'll definitely enter the rotation of, you want to see some cool shit, because this is it on the scale. Like, yeah,
just
great.
The brutality of it. Obviously there's that Tiger Driver variation, just bumping on the head. But Takeshita hit this German where Ospreay, right in front of us, just like bounced off his head. Yeah. And you worry with this style, but man, he's incredible.
Yeah, just fantastic stuff. So can't wait to see. Takeshita's on the DDT card WrestleMania weekend, so I'm excited to see him wrestle there. I can't wait to see who else Will faces. We're going to Toronto Dynamite. Hopefully we get to see Will in action, maybe Garcia or something. But yeah, can't wait. This was chef's kiss. We then went to the next match, the Triple Threat. Samoa Joe putting the AEW title on the line against Hangman and Swerve. And I mean, the crowd were just on such a come down. That's why this is where we needed the Meat Madness Egg Scramble match.
100%. We needed something. I think some filler just here, whether it be that Meat Madness match, whether it's just like a quick 5 minute stupid segment or squash or something. I think you needed something to bridge these two matches, because I think everyone was excited for this match. Everyone's into all three characters, you know, Joe, like finally as this world champion again, and just completely owning it, feeling like a true champion, cutting great promos, still delivering with great matches, Swerve, how hot he is at the moment, and, you know, turning babyface. Everyone wants to see him win that title. And then Hangman, who's, you know, turned heel kind of in for justified reasons. You get why he's pissed at Swerve, but just acting like a complete dickhead these days.
Yeah.
All three characters over. We know all three deliver. There's no real clear thought going in of who's going to win this. Yet the match starts and I'm watching it going, man, I want to get into this. I recognize what I'm seeing is good, but I'm on such a come down from the last match, and I'm not that as excited as I should be right now.
Yeah, yeah, I still really got into this match. My seatbelt started choking me. I could possibly die while we're recording this, but I'm fixing this.
You're choking a lot in this car.
I know, I almost died earlier. We hit a bump in this beef jerky. I'm almost murdered by the jerky. I'm still stuck. I'm going to have to wait for the... Oh, my God.
Shall I just cut the podcast here and upload? And
when we were on John and Wei's show, we almost got hit by a train. So
that's true.
This is Final Destination things here.
And you had a lisp on it for some reason.
Yeah. I wasn't that lit. So, like, I don't know if it was a connection or something. I don't have a lisp. So,
like, yeah, thanks for retirement.
Yeah. Listening back to that, I was like, whoa, what the hell? Like, do I sound like that? I don't, right? Like, not against anyone who sounds like that, but just like, whoa, like, that doesn't sound like me. So I assume something went wrong with the connection or something. But anyways, Swerve, Hangman and Joe was actually an awesome match as well. Like, some of the great back and forth between the three of them. I'm such a big Samoa Joe fan, have been for so long, been a huge Hangman. I'm loving heel mustache. Cowboy Hangman is one of my favorite things going. And I know, I think it was Sean Ross Sapp reporting that Hangman might take a little break, but like, I really hope that he comes back in full force, because I kind of wanted him to win, but I like the finish. It wasn't Swerve that lost, so there's still that story now with either Joe and Hangman there. But yeah, this match was still good, but I was like, not as excited into it, because I was pretty tired from the last match and knowing I had to save myself from for the main event. But like, being on this long drive, we were you know, trying to struggle. We all had coffees and some energy drinks and stuff earlier to try to stay alive. So this, I felt like the crowd was a bit quieter than the other matches, but it's because of where it was positioned. So I can attest to a lot of the people in the crowd. Like, yeah, we're like, hey, we're really supportive, but like, whew, boy, we're still catching our
breath. These arenas definitely need coffee. I asked and they were like, I said, what about Red Bull? And they were like, you're going to have better luck finding a coffee, and there's no coffee in here.
So, I thought America ran on Dunkin'.
Yeah, like, definitely that would help. But, you know, I really got into this at the end, you know, Swerve repeatedly just costing, Hangman repeatedly costing Swerve from winning it. Joe eventually winning with the choke. I think it's maybe good for Hangman right now to take a break, because he's so tied with Swerve too, but you need to take a break from that right now. So I think, you know, Hangman can take a bit of a break. Swerve, you know, Joe with this whole championship committee thing, Swerve's gonna have to work his way up again to get a shot. Joe can be like, you just had your shot. So we can see Swerve trying to build up wins, do the Wardlow match, maybe another defense on TV, and maybe have Swerve go for the title one-on-one at Double or Nothing, perhaps.
Hey, and I mean, I don't want Ospreay to come in and just win the belt, but Joe Ospreay is a match I'd also like to see down the line too.
Yeah.
So yeah, there's lots of different fresh matchups with a lot of top guys, and I think they're doing a good job. Swerve is like on his way up, and the big moment when he finally wins is going to be a pretty big deal. So
I think we should see him, you know, more fully babyface by then as well. We're seeing with, you know, I'm not saying 2 years like this Cody story, but I think there is something to having a bit of patience and letting the crowd want it even more. And I think, you know, Swerve is still kind of heelish and people are just warming to him. Have him be more of that underdog who's chasing and people really want to see him finally get that moment and do it on the right stage at the right time.
Or Joe just secretly representing the bloodline, holds the title to All In, and that's when Swerve finally...
And then just hands it to Roman.
No. Swerve beats him in Wembley, yeah. Could also be it. But yeah, this was still a good match and leaves me wondering what they're going to do next with Joe. So was good into that. But then we went into the main event. The real reason a lot of people in Greensboro showed up, the rowdy crowds here, the people wooing and all the noises with the great video intro with Sting at the theater with all the old videos and photos and everything of his past career of different versions of him. And then the entrance with the Surfer Sting coming up. And I know we were hitting that Grape Crush Depp and a few times, but I thought that was Sting. I was like, holy shit. That's why he's been...
We all did. We thought, oh, that's why he's been in this sweater all this time. He's holding the fact that he's
hair.
Fucking Jack. We're like, wow, he's retiring.
Whoa, and there's another one?
Yeah.
Whoa, there's two Stings? Holy shit, three Stings.
Yeah,
three
no, Stings. This is really cool. As soon as we're fat, we're like, oh yeah, we're done. We're done. But
it's his kids.
Like, oh, the whole presentation of this, the video beforehand with Sting in the movie theater, like, genuinely looking emotional watching this footage of him. It's a shame there wasn't more footage there because there's a whole lot of his career that WWE own and we couldn't have got it. But I thought with what they did have, they managed to, you know, they had enough of the old Surfer Sting and the kind of the middle era Sting before Crow Sting. They had enough footage to use. It's just a shame there wasn't more. But getting so hyped from that video and then him coming out, the AEW theme, which I love, and then kicking into Seek and Destroy with his sons there.
Epic. Awesome entrance. Like, how great is it? Like, coming out with the different generations of Sting with his sons, who, again, looking jacked in these things. Surfer Sting specifically, too. But, wow, like, that was incredible.
It's clear who his favorite kid is, though, isn't it? At the end, when he's on the mic doing the thank you speech, and he's like... And look, here's my boy. And they're the boots and tights I wore against Ric Flair 38 years ago in this very building. Great. And this is my other son. This is such an awesome feeling. I have been to a lot of wrestling shows. I love going to wrestling shows. But I love when you get that big sort of home crowd feel, like an actual sports team. You know, you're watching your country in a World Cup final, that kind of thing, when everyone there is rooting behind one person and wanting them to win, like, you know, WrestleMania 30, Daniel Bryan, and the Kofi Kingston year, or Sami Zayn in Montreal last year. It makes everything feel so much more special, and it makes every near fall feel like, you know, missed shots at the goal or stuff like that. This was awesome, and just when then we get to the actual match, which was just bonkers.
Yeah, I mean, so... Sting and Darby, grand entrance, and the Bucks coming out like the total heels, the EVP, loving this stuff. So this was a crazy tornado tag, no DQ, crazy madness match. And this was definitely one for the ages. Hashtag Sting's last match, because this felt so special. The crowd were so into this, and it was everything they said it was going to be and more. It was chaotic and there was violence. Some of the crazy spots with the tables and the chairs and the glass. I mean, the one that's spot that's coming out of this is clearly the Darby dive off the ladder through the glass plane, just shatters the glass and lays down, and instantly his back, we could see we were pretty close, and his back was just starting to bleed everywhere. The fact that then there was like a waiting pool of blood underneath him with the glass, oh my God.
Yeah. I know it's a joke and a meme right now, but yes, real glass, the blood came out of his back instantly.
Yeah.
And I always see the debates online when this kind of thing happens where, you know, people are saying it's stupid and I just don't know how to work or whatever. Like, it was spectacular. It did take me out of the match a little bit because Sting's then on his own, you know, trying to take out the Bucks and have the triumphant win and come back.
And then he got picture glass.
And I'm worried looking, is Darby dead? Yeah, is he dead? As soon as he starts moving and things, like, we're watching him being stitched up at ringside.
They were taping him up to finish the match. So they legit like sabued this guy. Like they took like this black tape and they were holding giant wounds together with tape. I watched this and you could see he's got tape on when he finally returns to make the save. But Sting gets put through the plain glass as well. Yeah. And like the glass goes into the first few rows of people, which I'm sure you could have got.
Splash zone, it's fine.
Yeah, you could have got glass in your beer, refund. Those are expensive. But wow, that was pretty nuts. But there was so many crazy stuff. The suplexes off the stage, all the nonsense with the stuff. But I don't actually
Flair getting super kicked.
Yeah, sorry, that was that nonsense. Yeah.
As the timekeeper being taken out.
Yeah, Ric Flair looking like he just died when he took that super kick. So just, oh man, it had all the bells and whistles on this thing and the crowd adding to the drama and like the, oh man, it was just an experience. And again, we haven't watched this back yet on TV or anything. We might try to watch it in the car, but like, oh man, like it just was, it had so much things, it had so much power behind it with like the Sting retirement, but the match itself was bonkers.
Such a feel-good finish as well with Sting winning. I know the done thing is to go out on your back, but I think Sting's career's been treated, TNA never being like huge and, you know, Sting was a presence there, but everyone wanted him to have that proper retirement. Goes to WWE, kind of goes out with a whimper. And this final run is, there's that Last Ride documentary about Undertaker, and it's clear he's just trying to have a match he's proud of to go out on. And those last few years of his career weren't particularly impressive. Whereas, you know, this run of Sting here has been. Like, there hasn't been a dull match he's had. There hasn't been a bad match. He's not embarrassed himself at all. And this match itself was everything I love about pro wrestling. It was a war. It was epic. You had emotional stakes that just made you far more invested in it. As I said, at the end, there were people hugging, there were people crying, like it was like their team had just won the World Cup or whatever. It was crazy. And I think he's, you know, wrestling retirement, people always go, they'll be back. I can't see retirement going any better than this. And why would you want to do anything else after this? This is such a high to go out on, leaving behind a career he can absolutely be proud of. No dragon left to chase anymore.
Except Baron Corbin.
Except
that's the real way to retire. Yeah. Wrestle Baron Corbin.
True.
Look at that retirement.
Exactly.
Third angle.
Exactly.
To this.
There's so many where you feel sad and not the right kind of sad.
Yeah. This was nuts.
You're sad his career's over, but you're like so happy with how it all went. And yeah, I just thought they handled it all brilliantly.
It was beautiful, man. It was so worth this 12-hour plus drive and everything we've been through to get to it. But once we did, we had our Miller High Lifes in us, our White Claws in us, and we were all geared up and all sitting together, the bunch of us. And like, again, the whole pay-per-view was a whole ton of fun, but this main event was so special, so violent. That spot is going to be shown and clipped a lot this week with the giant dive from Darby. And he said he would die for staying. And boy, like, he had to go to the hospital and he's getting ready to climb that mountain. So we'll see what happens. But yeah, this was something, man. I've been to a lot of wrestling shows and this felt like, not only was it like an incredible show, but it just felt very special. So, Davey, you're a crazy son of a bitch for thinking of doing this just mere days before this event. But we did it, man, and it was totally worth it.
Yeah, like it just, you could see on paper the announcement of this match and the Takeshita Osprey match alone sold it. But top to bottom, I thought this show was excellent. There was nothing bad on it. Yeah, there were some things not as good as others, but you had like three or four like killer, absolutely killer matches here.
Yeah.
And then the whole emotional climax at the end with Sting. You had the whole roster out there. You had the Swervettes out there hugging Sting goodbye at the end.
Yeah, I mean, Sting cut this great promo. I know they cut it off, but we kind of mentioned he talked about his kids. He talked about his friends, all the people through his career. It was very heartfelt and it was very nice. And
it was just lacking Trey Baxter.
Yeah, that's right. And yeah, fist bump. You need to fist bump someone. But yeah, you hug a lot of people. Everyone came out on the ramp, and it was just a great moment. And yeah, closes that chapter. He can, I'm sure he's going to do tours, sting talks, or podcasts. We got it. Since he never got to fight The Undertaker, I'm sure we're going to get a YouTube video of those two talking about how it never happened. I would love to hear that. But just awesome, man. Like, we've spent a lot in the last few weeks watching a lot of the best of Sting. Again, check out the best match ever, first 30 minutes free on this feed. And it just felt like after watching all these things, it's like, wow, man, like this guy's great. And it was really special. So, well worth the trip, but I got everything out of this show except the Sting shirts. So sorry, mate. Yeah. DWT, I guess there's an order soon. So.
Easily. I know we're very early in the year still, but, this is going to be hard to beat as a pay-per-view of the year. Really strong candidate.
we were going all around Greensboro, like at these different bars and stuff, and chatting to some of the great kinfolk around there, the fine people of Greensboro. Hell, everywhere we've went, Virginia and everything. I learned my new favorite phrase, apostrophe, appreciate it. So I've been saying that to everyone here, and they're giving me the old nod and the wink. But we've been just everywhere. Every time we did a shot, a drink, we were like, for Sting. This is for Sting. And they're like, why are y'all here? This is for Sting. We're here for Sting. So then we showed up to like our area, and like everyone was there for Sting. So the people showed up, and very, very cool to see, like, all these years later, Ric Flair, Sting, and Greensboro Coliseum, and that place was absolutely packed. I'm sure it was a lot packed because it was basically sold out, more packed than the Trump rally the day before, which maybe didn't do as well. But yeah, just what a time, what a show. It was totally worth it. So wow,
absolutely.
Well, we're driving. Graham's been driving. Rob switched out a little earlier when we had that barbecue. Got that cornbread. I'm sure the beans are going to kick in on this drive. I'm sorry, guys, but it was chaotic to get out of the venue. So we had to walk for a very, very, very long time.
Kept on trying to get Ubers, and it was just nothing picking up.
Way too chaotic because we were being responsible. We all wanted to have a good time and drink, so we didn't drive to the venue. So we found a bar that was open, had a spaghetti, called into John Away's thing, and then eventually ordered a way too much for some shitty late night food, but it hit the spot. And then we woke up, we hit a Target. We got some American snacks and goodies that we can't get. We tried Liquid Death for the first time. That was all right. And then we made it on our way. So it's just been a whole day.
Jerky store. Got
beef jerky.
I got clear hot sauce. I'm very intrigued.
Clear hot sauce.
Yeah, it's like see-through.
Yeah, very, very, very interesting.
Transparent.
So we have a few more hours before we get back to the border here. So we spent our time playing Pass the Ox, where every song someone else in the car gets to play a song at their request. So that was pretty fun for a while. Until we put on the Who, Love Rain Over Me, banger of a song. And we were just all having a great bro fest sing-along to The Who, like every, you know, guy deserves to do. And I guess our friend Rob was just getting too into the song as he went a little bit over the speed limit. And that's when the flashing lights behind us, we hear whoop, whoop. That's the sound of the beast as we were pulled over. And out comes this officer. He was very nice, a Southern accent here. And basically said to Rob, he was going a little over the speed limit. And we explained, hey, we're from Canada. This is a rental. And, you know, to be fair, everyone else was going a lot faster than even we were. But, you know, who are we to judge? And he said he could charge us with reckless driving, but he understands and dropped it down to something else. And I say it's still a lot of money.
I think he said it was doing 81 in a 60 or something like that, which is reckless, but he's dropped it down to 79, which is the first one was what? You're getting shit. And he made it less, money. So it's just paying a fine. Or come back in April to go to court. Rob, do you want to come back for court?
No, thank you. I found it off.
Okay, he's going to pay the fine.
So a new nickname is donned for our friend Rob. Reckless Rob now is what we call him here. But
we're not playing any more of The Who on this trip.
The Who, Love Rain Over Me. But instead, we are playing Bad Boys, Bad Boys. We are playing the NWA. We're basically on the run from the law now. So that was it. We thought our lives were flashed before
We've
ours.
Had such an American experience today. You know, going to a little beef jerky outlet store, the girl advising us on what the best venison. Local jerky is, then going to a barbecue spot, and then to top it all, what's more American than being pulled over by the cops?
Almost getting arrested for recklessness. Yeah, we come. These Canadians come to these states and they're reckless.
Yeah,
that's right. We could be wanted on the run.
And, we're in a different state now, so we can put the.
What do you want to do next, guys? Let's like try robbing a bank or something. Take the money and run. So, it's been a hell of a time.
It's been fun.
Absolutely. Yeah. So, shout out to our boys, Golden Graham, Reckless Woo! Rob. Super chill, Travi Sims here in the backseat. The backseat boys, it's been a hell of a thing. We're crazy to go drive for pro wrestling, but it's something we love, and it was totally, totally worth it for 2 days, half of it spent in the car, but we got to listen to the Rock's promo earlier. We've been listening to music.
Yeah, that took us halfway home, didn't it? The Rock's promo.
That Twitter promo?
Yeah. I want him to drop another one tonight, just to keep us busy.
Thank you guys. We're getting this shit together.
Yeah, I mean, Davey was the madman. He wanted to fly, and I'm like, that's an insane amount of money, which I'm sure we spent anyways, but like, yeah, it was totally worth it. An absolute banger of a show and a pretty fun little trip. Oddly enough, I'm doing another road trip in a few weeks for Mania, so we'll all be traveling again and hanging
out.
Hopefully Rob shows up.
We've got London. We've got a little road trip to London. Yeah,
we have a lot more live wrestling stuff. So we'll be doing a lot more of these road diaries and such. Again, follow the Patreon because we uploaded short little mini ones before and after bars and different events and stuff. So check us out there and all the other shows because we're going to be doing that for Mania season as well. And we'll be going to a lot more wrestling that weekend. But So we ate a lot of this Wagyu brisket or something, that whatever that was. It was fantastic. And now we recorded. I'm a bit more awake, but I can't wait to take a nap.
Yeah, I think we'll say goodbye there.
Yeah. So thanks, everyone, for listening and showing love. We ran into a listener as we were leaving. Someone went, is that Damian Braden? And shout out, I think it was John. John, we gave him a few pins. So appreciate you, man. Definitely love support. We always love when people see us at these wrestling things. So
appreciate it.
Appreciate all you fine people at Poison Rana Pod, Twitter, Instagram. Go give us a follow on the gram because we post a lot of stories on this trip and everything. So appreciate y'all. Take care. Goodbye and be safe.
Ahoy.